more talk from a Moorish perspective.
I went as far as expatriating. Yes, I did. Even though we are part of a corporation, it's not really a government, but I still did the expatriation process.
Be sure to catch this and more conversations on the Learn More Truth podcast. Bolster your immune system, help alleviate stress, take in those minerals and vitamins that you really need, nutrients like vitamin B, omega fatty acids 3, 6, and 9, and many more nutrients. More Beauty now offers hemp seed oil. We all know that health is wealth. We must do all we can to maintain it. More Beauty offers 100% hemp seed oil, a natural option. Hemp seed oil, available from More Beauty. Order yours today from theembassyofthemoors.org. Theembassyofthemoors.org.
Peace, everybody. Peace, peace. Just out for a walk. What's going on, Billy D? What's going on, man? Man, they talk about that. They talk about that constitutional carry, man. It's out. It's on the Senate floor right now. Grand risings, brother. Grand risings. I've risen to experience another day, for which I'm grateful for. That's how we living over here in this village. They call it a village. This suburban development. Got kids outside, you got families with their babies. It's almost normal, far from it. Because I guarantee you, I'm gonna see somebody with a mask here in about 5 minutes, less than five. And they're gonna be in their car by themselves wearing a mask. But permit me to digress as I scout for a place to sit, because I don't know, I'm thinking about having a conversation. Keeping things organic. Keeping things natural. People out here flying kites too, check this out. All right, last time I walked through this grass, I twisted my ankle, something bad, something fierce. Good thing I got strong ankles. It just rained overnight around here, so. But since I brought it up, it's constitutional carry, right? I'm fine with it. Because you know why? Two standpoints. One, think about what your ancestors did during pioneer days and at times before that. You're able to carry a piece out in the open, right? And guess what that did? That was a deterrent. It was a deterrent. A deterrent for, in most cases, violent activity. You had duels in the street. If somebody had a problem, you had a duel with that person. You know, just like they kind of project on the old westerns. Take 10 paces apart from each other, turn around and start blasting. That, my friend, is common law. And we actually do need to get back to a Republican or a Republic form of government. I'm not talking about the Republican Party. I'm talking about away from the Democrats. We have to form a body politic and be part of a Republican body, more theocratic. All right, glad to see you're joining me. And I will open the window for anybody that would like to talk, but my stance on constitutional carry, I'm fine with it. Trust me. It's not like you think it is, or like what some people think it is, in terms of it being a wild, wild west situation. It is a wild, wild situation anyway. Somebody got kidnapped or carjacked the other day that was coming out of their driveway, and he got shot to death, dumped in front of a police station. Guy drove away for 60, 70 miles. Fortunately, he got caught because of another controversial item. License plate cameras. He was apprehended in the victim's truck about an hour away from where she was killed, north of here, and apprehended because of technology. Hey, hey, what's going on, brother?
Peace and love, peace and love.
Peace and love. Okay, what's on your mind? We're talking about specifically, because I know you're kind of on, I won't say borrowed time, but I know your time is limited, given your situation.
Right.
That's actually one of the best situations to be in, if you know, we already talked about that before we went on air. Now I'm just going to answer. I'm going to answer this question that Brother Bill posed to me about constitutional carry. I'm guardedly optimistic about it, but I believe it's going to happen. You know, the thing is, if you're sitting somewhere and you have people that have guns on their hips, not likely a problem is going to ensue from that point. I know that from personal experience, with some exceptions, because there was a number of there were some officers that actually got shot and killed in Northern California a few years ago. They were sitting down and having lunch. But that's a whole other issue right there. That's a whole other thing. It had to do with them not being, with them not being ready. You know, and I'm not going to get into any tactical aspects of that at all. It's a past bygone situation. But from personal experience, I've sat in certain venues with a gun on my hip, open carry, full uniform. Not likely that anyone's going to really give you a problem. As a civilian, same difference. You got somebody sitting somewhere with a gun on their hip on a holster. And I'm sure, being that it's going to be statute, it's got to meet certain criteria. It does anyway have to meet certain criteria. You cannot have a 100 round magazine sitting there inside of your SIG pistol, okay? Because that's a federal violation. You have to basically have a firearm within the manufacturer's setup or whatever you have it, the way that you got it from the store. So I have no issue personally with sitting up with a gun on my hip, given the situation. It depends, because I didn't always carry when I was off duty. Even you know, when I was state authorized to carry, I was state authorized to carry concealed and open if I wanted to, but I didn't most times. And I'm from Los Angeles. I didn't always pack. I grew up without having to worry about worrying about packing as a kid. But that was back in the day before everybody started shooting all willy-nilly. But I digress. So, yeah, my position on that, I'm waiting for it to come to pass. Hopefully it will, because it'll serve as a deterrent, generally, in most situations. I don't put myself in situations purposely where stuff's going to break out and be a problem for me. I'm in a suburban setting in a park where there's a slight likelihood that something will happen, but I don't put myself in such positions. It is what it is. So I'm going to shelve that topic as far as the constitutional carry. We're going to wait and see what the Senate says. There's people, I had somebody hit me up my wall yesterday about this comment. They made a comment that was totally out of emotion. Had something to do with all the mass shooting, whatever. Yeah, yeah, yeah. Well, the thing of it is this. A handgun is a reactive weapon. It is not a proactive weapon. When I was kicking down doors back during my day, and I don't mean to make it sound like it is, because it isn't, I was just doing a job. It wasn't necessarily with a pistol. It is not a proactive weapon. It is a defensive weapon. So you need to be in a position to best defend yourself. Well, first of all, you got to use logic and common sense, because you don't actually need it, but it's good to know in these times, which are not normal, we're still not in normal society. If you think we are, you must be inside Disneyland with your mask on. So I'll leave that alone, though, because I don't want to elicit any negative responses. I'm trying to stay positive in this day and age, because I can't reach through the screen and choke anybody out. But just kidding, though. All right, I wish everyone a great Saturday afternoon, and welcome aboard. Welcome into my world right now. I'm letting you into my world just a little bit slightly. All right, and I talked a little bit too much because my guest looks like they lost connection. And that's, there we go. All right, brother. So yeah, we were talking about the Bruce's Beach matter in Southern California, where apparently there's going to be a settlement out of it. My general research on it, really, because I'm just starting to really get deeper into it. But initially, when I first saw, and actually it's been something they've been concerned about for years, really, as far as Bruce's Beach go. The thing of it is, My thing was, you know, I was had concerns about the indigenous or aboriginal aspect of that topic in terms of the angle of approach. Chief Yellow Feather, Dwayne Shepherd, has made it clear as a descendant of the family, and actually he's at the lead in talks with Los Angeles County over what's going to be dispensed to them as far as a reclamation claim. Because this is reclamation. This is not reparations. It's a reclamations effort. There's a difference between, and there's in my view, there's a difference between the two.
There's a difference. And can you share the difference, Brother Dahl?
Well, reclamation is something that you actually pursue. Reparations, you're actually waiting for a handout from a system that is deemed de facto. Yeah, we all go around thinking that, you know, that. It works. The government works for our best interests, evidenced by the stimulus checks and all that stuff. I'm not operating with a stimulus check. They can keep it, because the way the system does work is they're going to get it out of you some way. That money did not come from the people. It came from the Vatican. It came from Rome. It came from a social construct that is antisocial. That's just my purview. And this comes from within. This doesn't come from reading books. I mean, it comes from reading some books. It doesn't come from me being formally educated. It comes from me living life and going through certain experiences with my eyes open. It just so happens that the more that I've aged and the more stuff that I've gone through at this age, I've been able to open my eyes more and get free of certain constraints. Because 15, 20 years ago, I couldn't even talk like this on social media. As a matter of fact, 15 years ago, I didn't even have a social media account. I had none. Now I have far too many, but I digress. I yield the floor, brother.
All right, great, great. Peace and love, family. Peace and love to everybody. Brother Dolph, peace and love. Thank you for, you know, starting this live up and, you know, having me on here. And thank you for sharing that information you were just sharing about Texas and their constitution that they're voting on, this bill that they're voting on to pass so that people can have the right to carry without a permit, correct?
Correct, without having licensure, without licensing being required.
Right, right. But now, as we have mentioned about the Bruce Beach situation, I wanted to chime in on that, where, you know, it's a great effort that, you know, finally has, you know, taken this course where, as you mentioned, reclamation is now at the head of the table. And just as you mentioned, one of the representatives of the family also being, what was the brother's name?
Chief Yellow Feather, Dwayne Shepherd. Yeah, Yellow Feather, Dwayne Shepherd. I have a hard time pronouncing the tribe name, but it's basically they're situated on the northeastern territory around Martha's Vineyard and we know about Martha's Vineyard because we know that the, you know, people pop bottles out there, right? They go to Martha's Vineyard to pop bottles at some of these mansion parties. But I digress.
So right, and you see within the news articles and such, they refer to Bruce and descendants, the ones who took up the mantle to fight for the land, they refer to them as black. And they refer to Yellow Feather, as I read, also self-proclaimed a native group, tribal group. And that's, you know, the stance that he takes. This is where he come in from, that particular approach. But now, when we look at, you know, the history of Los Angeles, the history of Manhattan Beach in general, which a lot of people are not familiar with in specific course, but people are familiar with that time frame because it was like that all over the United States for us, where we
And to add, the Ku Klux Klan had a tavern in Inglewood, which is about 8 miles away from Manhattan Beach. And at that time, that's part of what went down then and ran those people out of there was the Klan, and they were in collusion with Manhattan Beach Police, El Segundo Police, and the South Bay Police territories that were basically Klan members that were likely in the fold on those agencies. But go ahead, I'm sorry.
Exactly. And to add to that buildup also, and they still are. Nothing has been removed, you know, just as when they're going over this current situation now, more pamphlets from the Klan was also sent out to them. Just as was sent out to them, you know, to his ancestors 100 years prior. So this just still goes to show the racism that we face right here in the United States. It has not went anywhere. You only have naive people that walk around as if it doesn't exist. Specifically being our people, because we the ones that teach to love everybody when we are the last ones to ever love ourselves. Now, yep, you also have the Klan in Lake View Terrace. You know, the many lodge headquarters.
Yep. You remember that cross-burning bill back in 1980, 81? They burned a cross right there on the hill between Sunland Tuhunga and Lakeview Terrace. Go ahead, I'm sorry. Why am I saying I'm sorry? This is my profile. I'm just being polite. Go ahead, brother.
Yeah, it's all right. But yeah, so when you look at the racism then it's easy to see how the land was took. As they call it, they took it through eminent domain.
Boom. So, and guess what else was taken? Guess what's built by him? What was also built by eminent domain?
What's that?
The 105 freeway between Orange County and LAX. They used eminent domain to get rid of those houses over there on the south side off of Avalon and the 100s and all that.
Okay. Information. So, and that's the thing now with how their ancestors' land was coerced out of their bloodline was through eminent domain via Ku Klux Klan, via sponsored by the city. So when we look at now the representative of the family member we were just mentioning that stands in the approach of a native tribe, you see the thing with that is these native tribes, which are also our brethren, let's be clear about that. And what many people don't know are we are the true indigenous natives of this land that taught others how to live and cultivate on these lands. And this particular brother that we're talking about, Brother Yellow Feather, they represent that ancient bloodline. Now, the thing being, whenever visitors can now come and give us reservations on our land, there's a trick that's been had. Whenever visitors could come into your home and tell you which room you're going to sleep in, it's a problem. So this is a thing with not just this particular native tribe that's involved with this land and Bruce Beach, but all of the native tribes that fall under the federal jurisdiction and federal numbers of the United States Code. A reservation is federal reserve land. So that's the thing, Brother Dolph, is when you have the land, for instance, that was took on Bruce Beach, that was took via eminent domain from black people, quote unquote.
Black people, right.
Eminent domain. We could do that. We could take that.
Because and they're undesirables.
They took it in such a way through threat and coercion where they didn't have to pay for the land. They just took it. So it's the legal aspect of the status of black people. This is what they could do to us under that label. This is what they could do to us as we are unorganized. They could just blow and we go. So the thing being, the recourse only looks by way of monetary gain. That land will not be given back to them. That's very, very unlikely. That's not how LA County works. That land will not be given back to them. They will be given money. Just as when we look at, again, the approach. If you are given a reservation on your indigenous land, let's think about that. If you are native, this is the approach. This is what's wrong with a lot of us in the Moorish movement. We want to, always promote and pronounce how this land is ours, it belongs to us, so forth and so on. However, we don't use it. But the thing is, when visitors come to our land and they begin to use it, and we now fall under their laws, where they now tell us who we are. They say you're Indian, then you become an Indian overnight. Then this now misplaces you from proper justice. So the thing being, when you're given a reservation on your own land, you are not in the position to win completely. You are only in a position to take what they are willing to give you in recourse. You're not necessarily in a position to demand. So therefore, they're going to give you the monies because we know that this fiat money is not enough. They're going to give us the money because they know we could give them $70 million. They're not going to do nothing with it. What have they done so far? Nada. Nothing. They look at us, especially our brethren on reservations, they look at us as drunkards on these reservations. They look at us as nothing but gamblers on these reservations. They don't look at us as productive on these reservations. So therefore, them giving $70 million to a native group on a reservation means nothing to them in the form of threat, uprising, or awakening the consciousness of anybody. So let's give it to them.
Right.
They will not give you the land. They'll give you the money. Because you ain't going to do nothing with the money. But give it back to them by way of casinos and alcohol. Nothing will be developed and built to leave behind or to establish national recognition, only existing in complacency with the federal number being recognized federally as a native tribe. With the reservation given to us by our oppressors. So that's, so what I'm saying, Brother Dolph, to the audience, what I'm saying is a reservation is just what that means. It's been reserved for you. By who? That's the question we got to ask. Who reserved this land for you? The United States of America. Reserve this land for you.
Of America.
Of America. And of is a preposition word. Denoting not nativity, but denoting in possession. So, the United States of America gave us and others reservations on our own land, stripping from us then power. Because now what do we go by? We call ourselves, for instance, like the native group. Brother Dolph.
Yes.
By them being federally recognized, it's a procedure you have to go through to be federally recognized. We just cannot band together and say, we're going to be a recognized tribe.
Correct.
Not by way of being federally recognized in the sense of how they are. Because you have to have a federal number when you're federally recognized by the federal bureau.
Right.
So in order to get that, it's a process you have to go through, and initially, the first thing you have to do before you submit the application with the information that you have to provide, the first thing you have to do before you even get the application is contact the Bureau of Indian Affairs.
Ain't nothing but a tracker, that's right. Ain't nothing but a tracker, that's right, Bill.
So, if I gotta contact the Bureau of Indian Affairs, when I'm not even an Indian, to be recognized as a native tribe, then they're going to put you in a position of being an Indian, where now they now displaced us and misnomered us and stripped us of our nationality. Because now, even the land that we sit on in reservations. How do we get Federal Reserve land? You just don't say, give me land, the United States, and they're going to give you land and say, this is reserved for you. That's not how that works. So when we look at the approach, the procedures on how do you get Federal Reserve land via being a native tribe, the way you get Federal Reserve land is you have to, first thing first, you have to contact the Bureau of Indian Claims Court. Right. Do you see the name?
Yep.
So all of this is now disenfranchising us subtly, but overtly. And now we've now been placed on a reservation.
Sorry, brother.
I know. Just experiment. I know. I was tempted to press those buttons too, but I didn't want that happening. I did not want that happening.
I had to break it up a little. I'm sorry. I didn't mean to cut your wisdom, brother. Carry on. I didn't mean to cut your wisdom, man. My bad, audience. I'm sorry. I'm new to this. You know, I'm new to this being more public and messing with these devices. Go ahead. I'm sorry.
But case in point, so-called native tribes, whether they're Chumash, the biggest ones that we have heard of, the Navajos, you know, the Cherokee, the Seminoles, all of these have federal numbers under the Federal Bureau of Indian Affairs. This is why they're federally recognized by the government in that particular manner.
Correct.
So with that being the case, they all had to go through and be allotted this land through the Indian Claims Court. When you go into the Indian Claims
Court. Hold on. Say that again. Indian Claims Court.
So when you go into an Indian Claims Court, land claims court, then you could go in a Navajo more, but you're going to come out of India. This is the whole thing. You could go in a Chumash with sovereignty, but it's going to come out an Indian on the reservation. So this is the whole trick that we have to see behind the scenes. It's always something behind the scenes because the United States don't give out land. They don't give out nothing. And we should not expect them to give us anything. Because if they could give you something, then they could take it away. If they could give you freedom, then they could come take away that freedom. So if you could walk in a courtroom, and a court being, just as a lot of us are familiar with sports, basketball, you know, they play on the court. You know, tennis, they play it on the court. And a court is usually a level playing field. But when you go in these type of courtrooms, you're looking up at the judge. When you leave out as a subject of the courtroom now, this is when you become an Indian or a black or a color. But in that instance, you become now an Indian. And we all know that none of them come from India. So it's all a hoax and smoke and mirrors. Nevertheless, it's important for us to pursue land acquisition. But we have to do it in such a way where we have security, so that way we can provide an economic independence for ourselves to truly proclaim ourselves and have true sovereignty over our land, or as some will call it, the allodial title. We cannot have it as individual sharecroppers with a couple acres here and there.
Right.
You know, we have to do better, which we are endeavoring to do always. And for all the viewers out there, you know, I encourage the viewers to go ahead and join up, participate. You know, we also have a website that you could, you know, click the link in the bio, and it takes you there effortlessly. The website is also called the Embassy of the Moors, for those that don't want to go through that headache. But Brother Dolph, yes, I believe I said enough on that subject, and I believe, you know, I pray and hope that, you know, I delivered enough information to share my point of view.
Thank you, my friend. It's really appreciated. I really do appreciate it. And by the way, folks, this was not any kind of spam activity going on here. It's just basically a way to get the information out there that we all need to know, because I'm a very strong believer in proclaiming my nationality. I actually proclaimed it. I no longer go by those undesirable titles that label you as a denizen. That's what we have to understand. That's what we each and all have to understand, is that those titles are what gets in our way. of any kind of social progress. That's the whole thing. That's the entirety of the problem. I appreciate having Brother Adel Muhammad Ali on today. We were talking about this, and I wanted to get his perspective on it. Hey, I got a question. I know you probably have to go, but I got a question.
Yes, sir.
I feel strongly that this case, this one case, can set some significant precedent. What's your view on that? Do you believe that this can set a precedent? That's my understanding that it can.
It had the possibility. But when money is taken, then nothing is shown for.
Good point.
You could take the $70 million, but after that, a week later, we won't hear nothing else about it. Manhattan Beach is still going to be, and that Bruce Beach area is still going to be what it is. They're going to be $70 million up, but we still won't see anything from it. As in, by way of transformity.
Wow.
Everything's going to look as, some would say, resume normal program.
Right.
If the land was pursued, then it has set a different precedence now, as you was mentioning.
Mm-hmm.
You know, we want the land. Even approaching it in black status, we want the land. It belongs to us. It now creates and stir up spirits.
Mm.
So even this, if... This, go ahead.
This is spiritual. This is a spiritual thing, right?
Right.
This goes a lot deeper than the surface. I've been telling people about deep water thinking versus surface thinking.
Yes, sir. Exactly.
They have an Instagram page. I don't have it memorized right now, but if you type in Bruce's Beach here on IG, it'll probably be right up at the top of the search.
Okay. So
Bruce's Beach on IG, and that's where their actual official page is for a lot of their information that they're disseminating. And it, from what I've read to this point so far, I've seen that that Chief Yellowfeather has set out different, I won't say demands, more or less, but for lack of a better word here on a Saturday, I'm going to say demands. But he's listed like three options as far as what he expects to be a part of the settlement or to actually reach a level of resolve. They've been in this case, embroiled in this for the span of roughly 15, I think close to 20 years, if I'm not mistaken. And I'm of the impression, and because it was my concern that there was no Aboriginal or Indigenous aspect being entertained in this case, I felt a little bit more in comfort to find out, you know, what the deal was, and involving the tribal elder being associated with this case and being a direct descendant of the family, which is huge. Something I heard on a podcast yesterday, and I'll let you go, was he mentioned that one of the descendants of the family, who was also a service veteran, a military service veteran, has no vehicle, and the only way that he gets around is by foot and walks or takes public transit. And the majority of the family was either impoverished, they've had to pay off college loans, or they're otherwise trapped in the matrix all this time without being bestowed any means for thriving within this matrix. So that's what I got to say on that. Yeah. Okay. Yeah.
Thank you. Thank you, Brother Dolph.
Thank you, brother. All right. I'll talk to you later, man. We'll talk. Thank you. Thank you for joining.
Yes, sir. No problem. Thank you for having me. Peace and love.
All right. Peace and love. Islam. All right. Let's see. Do you hang up or do I do? All right. I might, I'm going for a little bit more of a walk. Those of you that might have some questions or comments, I'm actually going to plug in my link tree. Actually, no, my link tree is in the bio. I've actually got three more podcasts added to the site. I'd appreciate more of y'all that can possibly support me there, or at least like and share. I'm actually on a walk right now. I'm going to stay cammed up, by the way. And I'm going to stay cammed up, and in case it cuts out, there you have it. I'll be done for the day. I wanted to talk about being jabbed up. Kind of disappointed to find out that, as it seems to me, the beast mode himself, we know who he is, star NFL athlete, is persuading people to get jabbed. And I personally think it's disappointing. I just do. Will I tell him to his face? Probably not. But we know that he's involved with philanthropic or efforts in the community. He supports his community. He's got a few business concerns and that. So I can probably see why he would be aligned in a certain way, if you know what I mean. And plus, he's getting an NFL paycheck. Really no intentions of getting jabbed or being part of the Jabbers Club. Okay, that's just my prerogative as a free person, as a person able to make up their own mind, etc. So you do what you do, but you know, following social influencers without doing your due diligence is futile. You know, and this here is just an expression of opinion. Get out your feelings. It's not about a feeling. It's about factual information. It's about the research. It's about proving what your assertions are. Given the past few days with Johnson & Johnson, including the track history they've had, Johnson & Johnson pausing, you know, their administration of the Viz, that ought to tell you something. There's a case in this area where someone was in it, apparently inadvertently inoculated, and they got sick and died. Not cool. So, yeah. You know, you dig? I'm just saying. Not happening. I don't care what you think. I don't care how you feel. It's just not so. Done the research, seen the information to draw a conclusion. Unless you are actually infirmed. You are actually infirmed and are actually sick. That's a different story. Okay? That's a different story entirely. You know? All right, brother. That is a different story entirely. What you got to do is get out here among the trees, if you can. Consume water. Take in your vitamins along with your food if you choose to eat. If you don't eat, it's probably even better because all the stuff's processed anyway. It's better to take care of yourself. It's about governing your own affairs.